Blog Talk Radio.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
You are listening to Travel Talk with Kelly Morgan Mealy, Chief Guide at TheBucketListRetreat.com. Kelly is the curious host who takes us along as we learn the ins and outs of travel to fascinating places that tap into our hearts and turn us into lifelong travelers, adventurers, and wanderers. Now, our friend in travel, Kelly.
Hello, everyone. This is Kelly with Bucket List Retreats. I am so happy that you joined us today here on our very first show on Travel Talk. If you haven't yet, please go to the website, bucketlistretreats.com, and check us out there. You can see my information and everything that we do. We would love to have you check out our retreats, see if one appeals to you, and let us know if you would like to join us on a gorgeous transformational retreat, so much more than just a vacation. And if a retreat is something that you would like to offer your clients or your customers, please let us know. We'd be happy to help you with that. And without further ado, let's dive into our first topic here on Travel Talk, and that is me, your hostess, Kelly Morgan Mealy, and how I became a retreat leader. It really starts with my family. I've always said that my family has been very nomadic. They came to the Americas from England on one side of the family in the 1600s and on the other side of the family in the 1800s. Both sets from England to the Americas. My great-grandfather went out to Idaho to spread the word and build communities, houses, churches, schools, and start his own family. He and my great-grandmother did have a large family, and my grandpa was the oldest. He had a wanderlusting spirit and loved going out into the mountains and fishing and hunting and imagining himself a mountain man. But sadly, when he was about 18, his father, my great-grandfather, was struck and killed by a drunk driver on his way home from work at the mine, and it immediately put my grandpa in the role of being head of household of this large brood of brothers and sisters. Before you know it, grandpa was jumping trains all around the West, sending money home, taking odd jobs here and there, when he finally fell in love with a particular slice of heaven known as Bishop, California. Grandpa decided to settle down and start a family there. This is where my mom was born and where my dad was raised. Bishop is a particularly beautiful slice of heaven that sits in the crook of California in the shadow of the great Sierra Nevada mountains. And if you've ever been skiing up at Mammoth Mountain Ski Resort, you've probably driven through Bishop, unless you are amongst the rich and famous that fly in on their Learjets. A fun fact about Mammoth Mountain Ski Resort and my grandpa is that he actually carved some of the ski runs, the original ski runs up at Mammoth Mountain. At the time, he drove a D9 Caterpillar tractor, and he was said to be the bravest man around. That is one of my favorite stories about my grandpa. Bishop sits just south of Yosemite National Park. It has the Great Sierras on one side of it in this beautiful valley known as the Owens Valley, and on the other side has the equally stunning White Mountains. They're just a little shorter than the Sierras. Just down the road south of Bishop is Death Valley, one of the hottest places on earth and definitely the hottest place in the United States. And just across the way a little bit is Mount Whitney, the tallest mountain in the United States. So why my parents ever wanted to leave this gorgeous place there where they were raised, I always say I will never know, but I actually do know. My dad loved to fish, and he found out about some fabulous fishing in Washington State, and at the time worked for the telephone company. So when I was 11, he got a job offer to transfer from Bishop, California to Seattle, Washington, and we headed north. Our family had already gone as far west on this continent, so north we went. We were not in Seattle for 2 weeks when my dad went on a sales trip up to Alaska. He was in charge of Alaska, Oregon, and Washington State. And he came back from that trip, set us down, and said, "We are moving to Alaska." It took him about 2 years to get the transfer, and by that time, I was 13 years old, had made some really good friends in Washington. I did not really particularly want to go to Alaska. But go to Alaska we did. He bribed us with saying, "I'll get you all horses," but once he found out how much it would cost to board and feed horses in Alaska, he changed his mind very quickly, took us all down to the Yamaha motorcycle shop, and bought us all brand spanking new motorcycles. The exciting thing about that was, when you're 14 in Alaska, if you have a 100cc or less motorcycle, you can ride it on the street like a big girl. And I did. I love to ride my motorcycle. But before we moved to Alaska, my dad said, "Why don't I send you back to Bishop for the summer, a few weeks, you can stay with your grandma, and then we will all, the family, will go up to Alaska, move up to Alaska, and you can fly up once we get there." I thought that sounded like a great idea. So the day I flew up to Alaska, I arrived in the Anchorage airport. I walked down the terminal to get on my next flight to our hometown on the Kenai Peninsula. And I swear to goodness, I look out the window and they are starting the plane by turning the props with their bare hands. Now, it's probably not true. It's a story I tell, but in my mind, that is what it seemed like. The plane looked so small, so rickety, so scary. I ran to the payphone. I called my dad and I started crying how I did not want to get on that plane. He told me in no uncertain terms to hang up the phone, get my behind on that plane, and he would see me in about 30 minutes. So I did as I was told, and I got on the plane. We take off, go over the ocean, a very dark, scary, gray-looking, cold ocean, and finally we see some land. What do I not see? Roads? Buildings? No sign of life whatsoever. All I can see are mountains, rivers, lakes, oceans, not one sign of civilization. And before I know it, we start descending. We start landing. We do land. All I see is this tiny little wood shack known as the airport. And sitting next to that is my parents' car, and they're in it. So as I exit the airplane, I'm having a regular 13-year-old meltdown. And my mom says to my dad, "Take her to the mall. Take her to the mall." Thankfully, by the grace of God, 11 miles away in Kenai is a mall. And praise be to God, in that mall is a Nordstrom. That is a department store here in the West. And I just want to thank Mr. Nordstrom from the bottom of my heart for having taken his store up to Alaska, I think in the 1800s, but there it was, just for Kelly Morgan Murley. Now, Alaska wasn't exactly where I wanted to be, but my dad made it so much fun. We ended up exploring the entire state, and a big state it is, almost as big as many, many countries. We fished every ocean, every inlet, every lake, every river, every stream we could find. My dad would put our motorcycles in the back of his truck, put the truck on the ferry. We'd go across the inlet and be out in the wilderness camping and just having the time of our lives. I'm sure there were bear all around, but we never seemed to worry about it. But I was landlocked and too young to travel by myself, so I started reading about the adventures I wanted to do. So fast forward a few years later, and what do? I get married. A lot of Alaskans get married young, and that's exactly what I did. But my husband's job involved travel. He had to fly to the North Slope of Alaska, like many of our husbands did, and work in the oil field. So when he got home, he wasn't too keen on picking up and taking off and going somewhere else. But I, on the other hand, was stuck in my small town without ever getting to go anywhere. So one year, Alaska Airlines offered $69 round or one-way flights to Seattle. And I called my mom, asked her if she would watch the kids for 4 days. She said yes. I bought the tickets and surprised my husband at the Anchorage airport when he flew in from the North Slope. I said, hey, get ready. I've packed a better bag for you, and we are headed down to Seattle for 4 days. Little did I know this would be the beginning of my very own travel adventures. And for us, the time of our lives ensued. We had so much fun in Seattle and did things like eating dinner at Benihana's, which for us was quite a novelty to watch them cook our and prepare our meal right in front of us. We went down, of course, to the wharf and had seafood and went to Pike's Place Market. We rented a really cool car. We had a nice hotel and even went to an NFL game right after brunch at the Space Needle. That evening, however, we had to fly home to Alaska. So when we get back to the Anchorage airport, it's frozen outside. My husband says, I'll go get the car. You wait right here. So he gets out to the car, and it had been raining and snowing and raining and snowing ever since we left, so the car was kind of frozen solid, like a solid block of ice. He finally gets the door open, he gets inside, starts it up, and starts making his way up to the airport, but the tires were kind of flat on one side from sitting there the whole time, and they were making this dunk, dunk, dunk noise as he came up to the airport, and I'm laughing at him. We throw in the bags, I hop in, and we head off to our hometown on the Kenai Peninsula. It's a dark, scary, snowy night. And if you slide off the road, on one side is the cliff or the mountain. You'll hit it. And if you slide off the other way, you'll slide into the ocean, the Cook Inlet. And that was just so scary. And my husband turned to me and he said, what the heck are we doing living here when all of that is out there? And I said, that is what I'm trying to tell you. I know Alaska was our parents' dream, but I really don't think it's ours. So it only took us about 6 months to sell our home and open a map of the United States and choose a place to live. And we chose Phoenix, Arizona. It just sounded so warm, and I had high hopes of never wearing a coat again. We packed everything we owned into our two vehicles and our trailer, had CBs between the two of them so we could communicate, packed our little family and our dog, and off we went in June of 1986 from Kenai, Alaska, down to Phoenix, Arizona. It was a 4,000-mile trip. We camped all the way going up Alaska. You had to go north to get out, and went through Tok and into the beautiful country of Canada. When we arrived in Banff, British Columbia, Canada, it was so beautiful. I begged my husband, please, let us just stay and become Canadians. All right, now, let's go ahead and break for commercial. And when we come back, I will tell you the conclusion of this story, which has to do with meeting one person in particular. And her name is Karenna.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
This year at Bucket List Retreats, we are featuring women's retreats in Tulum, Mexico, Portland, Oregon, Marrakesh, Morocco, and our co-ed adventure to Machu Picchu, Peru. Go to bucketlistretreats.com. Join our travel club for inside tips, fun travel conversation, and freebies only available in email. Bucket List Retreats. Where do you want to go? Now back to Travel Talk with Kelly Morgan Mealy.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me again on Travel Talk. If you missed the beginning of today's show, please go back and listen to the early years of how I learned to love to travel, and wanderlust was in my blood from the generations before me. But in 1986, my family, my small family, and I moved to Arizona, and it took a few years before I wound up in a really cool neighborhood in the East Valley. There I met a beautiful girl named Karenna, and Karenna was married to an airline pilot. She had these awesome things called buddy passes, and she liked to travel and would often take her friends. It wasn't before long that she called me up one day and said, "Hey, do you want to go to Boston?" I said, "Sure," and giggles ensued. So before we knew it, we were flying on a plane to Boston, and who else was on that plane? Every Red Sox fan around, because Boston had just won the World Series and the parade was tomorrow. So we went to the parade, we toured the city, we saw Paul Revere's house, of course, and all that Boston has to offer. We had lobster and just a fabulous time. At one point, we went into a bar with a bunch of the Red Sox fans, and Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline came on, and suddenly all the men stand up on the bar stools and the bars and the tables and start belting out Sweet Caroline at the top of their lungs. Karenna and I are like, "What the heck is going on?" It wasn't long before we realized that was their anthem of sorts. So the next morning at breakfast, we're about to head to the airport when the waitress says to us, "Well, if you ladies are traveling on buddy passes, you know, today is Halloween." We're like, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, yeah, you should probably stay and go out to Salem, Massachusetts for the big Halloween event they have every single year." So we start nodding our heads yes and picking up our phones and calling our husbands and calling Priceline and getting another room that night and staying in Boston. So on the way out there, we discussed costumes and the fact that we didn't have any, and everyone we had seen headed to Salem had on costumes. So I said, "No biggie, as soon as we get to Salem, we'll look for some fake blood or something to put on ourselves, and we'll fit right in." So we get to Salem. Karenna says, "Hey, I'm going to run across the street there and go potty." And before I knew it, here she came back, and she had blood all over her face. It took me just a minute to realize that this was not the fake blood we had discussed. She had fallen on the cobblestones and bonked her eye right above, or her head right above her eye, and I whisked her off to an ambulance that was sitting by. They had that all set up because there were thousands of people in Salem, as there are every Halloween, and said to the ambulance driver, "This is not fake blood," and he put her in the ambulance and whisked her off to the hospital, where she ended up not having to have stitches but just getting it butterflied. But that was our first trip to Salem, Massachusetts. I have been back with my mom and my adult daughters to celebrate Halloween, and it's something I absolutely advise to everyone. So before I know it, my youngest daughter is graduating from an interior design school, and the school is taking a trip to Europe at the end to study the art and decor and architecture in Europe, everything they had just learned, to actually see it face-to-face. So I asked, "Hey, can moms go?" And before I knew it, my girlfriend was like, "Well, hey, can friends go?" So they let this mom and her girlfriend tag along on their school trip. They were all adults too, and it was just so much fun, and we saw absolutely everything you would want to see as a tourist in London. And then we took the train under the canal, the Channel train, to Paris, and then we boarded a bus and went through Switzerland, down to Italy, Venice, Florence, Rome. It was just a magnificent trip. And Then on our last leg of the trip, since we were already in Europe, we decided to spend a day and a half in Amsterdam. And I had got a bit of a cold by that time. We'd been on the road for almost 20 days. And that night stayed in the wonderful Marriott in Amsterdam. It was just heavenly to be in that warm, cushy bed where I got my strength back. The next day, we toured as much as we could of Amsterdam and really enjoyed all the food and the hustle and the bustle and the bikes. And I have to say, if you really want to see everything there is to see, look into a tour, because it's so much fun to knock out those touristy places. Then you can pick your favorite location to go back and really spend some time and immerse yourself. In the year 2000, Corinna and I started a book club. And before we knew it, our book club buddies wanted to travel along with us. And we all wanted to see the places that we had been reading about in books all of our lives. One of our first trips, and probably maybe even today, one of my most favorite trips, was to Savannah, Georgia. We had just read the book Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, and we were all so excited to experience the South. None of us had ever been there before. So we rented this magnificent three-story walk-up in downtown Savannah that made you feel like you were definitely in the book, or maybe even in Gone with the Wind. It was so cool. We did absolutely everything that they talked about in the book, and to our shock and amazement, when we walked by the show where Lady Chablis had her shows, we were amazed that she was going to be appearing that night. She doesn't often do shows any longer. So we bought tickets and went to the show that night, and we're just having so much fun. She even told me to shut up, white girl. And that's exactly what I did. I shut up. These trips gave me the courage to consider maybe going off on my own. I had heard about a writer's retreat put on by the fabulous Jennifer Loudon. If you have never heard of Jennifer, I ask you to please look her up. She will teach you comfort and how to take care of yourself. Her retreat was in Taos, New Mexico, at the Mabel Dodge Luann House. This location is some sort of a creative vortex because people have been painting there, writing stories and books and movies there since the 1800s. At this retreat, we experience gourmet health food, yoga, meditation, and creativity classes that really opened my mind to a whole nother dimension I had never really experienced to that level before. During meditation, I saw myself sitting beside a pool of cool, clear water just off the sandy beach, just back in a jungle. I had never seen a place like that before, and I felt so calm there. So on a shopping excursion in Taos, when I ran across a Tibetan meditation chair, I went ahead and bought it and brought it home and tried to commit to meditating more often. This trip gave me the courage to then go on another retreat, this one to Tulum, Mexico. Tulum is just south of Cancun, and put on by a couple of girls I had been following socially, the Astro Twins. I was so scared and excited all at the same time to be leaving the country all by myself with people I didn't even know. But once I walked through the gates of this retreat center, which sat right on the sandy shores of Tulum, I realized that this was the place I had been seeing in my meditation. I knew for a fact that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. It was a marvelous retreat. The Astro Twins were fabulous. I learned so much about astrology and myself and what it's like to be so far away from home, really all on my own. The people I met there hopefully are my lifelong friends. And the interesting thing was, when I got back, I felt completely transformed. I had more wisdom than I felt I had ever had. Shortly after I got back, I heard about a course on retreats. So I checked it out and, of course, had to take the course myself. Now, I added that to my years of office experience. My husband and I had ran our own business. I was used to balancing books and doing paying payroll and everything that you have to do to run the back end of an office, and added it to everything I had just learned in the retreat course. We got licensed, we got insured, and we came up with our name. And that is how Bucket List Retreats was formed. I did run a beta retreat with my girlfriends back down at Shambhala Petite in Tulum, the same retreat center that I had been to with the Astro Twins. And the next year with Sheila Schuster and Maureen Dicker, the Soul Sisters, where we learned how to have grace in chaos. I came away from that retreat with beautiful life lessons that I have used over and over again throughout the last year. We are going back to Tulum this year with the Fun Creative Joy Retreat in about a month. And this time we're taking an artist. She's an intuitive artist. Her name is Crystal Daigle, D-A-I-G-L-E. And we are going to have the Art Lounge open all weekend. The Art Lounge at Shambhala Petite is really a living room with a huge view of the Atlantic Ocean, the Caribbean. It's absolutely beautiful. And, of course, we're bringing our favorite yogi, Dawn Hopkins. She is keeping the yoga right in line with our creativity that we're working on this week. And it will be offered every morning in the most beautiful yoga studio I have ever been in. Solid windows all the way around, featuring that blue Caribbean sea. So if you can't join us in Tulum, maybe you consider going with us to Portland. We're going at the end of July. It's Retreat for Creatives, Dreamers, and Adventurers with Ellie Trier. It is going to have a bit of a Portlandia theme. If you've seen that show, we're basing a lot of what we're doing on it. We're so excited. And then to cap things off this year, in October, we're going to Marrakesh, Morocco. Karenna and I went last year, and we cannot wait to take everyone to this gorgeous country in our Awaken the Sparkle Within retreat. So please check us out at Bucket List Retreats. Be sure to sign up for the Travel Club if you want to join my tribe and have a true wanderlust spirit. Please join the club. You'll be the first to get inside tips, know where we're going, and that is the only place that I give away my freebies. I want to thank you for joining me here today on Travel Talk on my very first show. I hope you'll tune in next week. We're going to talk about venue, where to go. I give you 3 solid tips on how to pick your next trip. So join me. I'll have a free PDF just for listeners of that show. So I hope to see you here next week. Same time, same place. Bon voyage.
This is the EWN Radio Network.